House Bill 717, which revised certain Superior Court districts, will be presented by Representative Burr. Representative Burr, the floor is yours, sir, and let's try to be as brief and concise as you can so we can allow as much input before the Democratic caucus at 5.
Thank you, Mr. Chairman, members of the committee. I will attempt to do that at this point and be brief in my comments as a sort of run through what is a very important bill, I believe, and one that is long overdue. You know, it has been not since the 1950s, 1960s, when there was really some major statewide reforms to our judicial system and the judicial districts, that we've seen any kind of major changes other than through piecemeal effect over the last 50 years or so. And those changes really have not been coordinated as they should have been, and we've really just had that piecemeal effect, which has resulted in a lot of overlapping and unbalanced districts and election districts across the state when it comes to our prosecutorial, superior court, and district court districts. To me, this is long past overdue. It's something I've been advocating for a number of years, and I'm pleased to have this before this group today to again work to update, for us to work to update the framework of our judicial districts to again reflect North Carolina's developing landscape and changing needs. As I've worked on this legislation with other members here at the General Assembly to develop this bill, tried to take certain factors into account, such as resources within districts, geography, population, and caseload. Now, today, in many cases, the Superior Court districts, prosecutorial districts, and those district court districts are not aligning, and they're overlapping, and I believe that that's something that needs to be fixed moving forward. And this bill, this proposal before you today, will do just that. The prosecutorial districts in this bill will really serve as the shell, and nested within those districts will be the superior and the district court districts. And they will all align with one another just as they did when originally established and as they really should be today. Under this proposal, the smallest prosecutorial district is just under 90,000. And under this plan, we're trying to reduce the number of districts that are under 100,000 through mergers and consolidations. And this puts us on a path to doing that. Now, for Superior Court, I want to make clear, start out by saying that through this transition, that as seats are moved and shifted around into districts, that they will only be done so as terms expire. We're not eliminating any sitting judges in the middle of their terms. No one's term will be cut short. They'll be allowed to finish out the remainder of their term. Now, for Superior Court, you have a number, as I said, of the piecemeal approach that's been used for the last 50 years, which is why our current range with Superior Court districts varies from a 50,000 population district to probably close to 500,000 population district. And this plan will bring those districts closer to the average population, just as it should be through those sort of the average Superior Court districts. Now, under current law, many of the current counties have Superior Court election districts. So within an individual county, such as Wake, Mecklenburg, and others, they have those districts, but they have not been updated to reflect changes in population. And House Bill 717 is before you will correct this imbalance. And we'll correct this imbalance by updating the election districts for Forsyth, Guilford, Mecklenburg, Durham, Cumberland, New Hanover, Pender, and Pender to closely align with the 2010 census number, something most of these have not been updated in a number of years. I want to share with you one of those regularities that we have and that we're correcting in this bill. So Mecklenburg County, as you can look on your maps you've got before you, in Mecklenburg, the current and outdated three Superior Court districts do a real disservice to the residents of Mecklenburg County. And I have today's map, or the current outdated map, and I'll share it with you. So in District A, which has two Superior Court judges that are elected from that district. It has a population based on the 2010 census of 151,257 individuals. District B on this map has three Superior Court judges elected from the district, and it has a population of 301,999 with three Superior Court judges residing in that district. And then District C, which is the district, the green district, which goes in and out down in the southern end of the county, it has two Superior Court judges in that district, and it has a population based on the 2010 census of 466,372. Clearly out of balance with those other districts. That's 50% of the population in Mecklenburg County only able to vote for two out of the seven sitting Superior Court judges. This proposal will fix that and will update the Mecklenburg County issues along with all the other counties that I mentioned previously. And it is a step that we need to take. And we've also, along with updating those counties, incorporated similar election districts in two other counties. You've got Buncombe and Pitt, which you'll see on your map that you have before you. And in drawing these new districts, I want to let you know we work to try to do our best to balance these districts based on population and to not exceed the deviation that's used for legislative and congressional races, even though that 5% deviation is not required for these maps. We try to follow that process. And these subdivisions within the larger counties have been drawn in order to create districts that are more logical for both the voters and the potential candidates. And in most cases, we've drawn two-member districts to attempt to allow for a larger pot of candidates who can run, but also have to run in a more localized area than countywide. And for these maps, and you see that looking at the district court and the Superior Court maps, you'll notice that they're very similar in most counties. And what we've tried to do is to update the law so that, for example, in Mecklenburg County, it made absolutely no sense that you had a Superior Court judge who serves an 8-year term running in a district, and then you have a district court judge who serves a 4-year term having to run countywide. So what will happen are the maps that we have before you, those will be used for district and Superior Court races in those larger urban counties. I think that is a good step, fair for all the candidates running. And then the only place that I want to point out as you look through the map where you'll see a slight difference from how we followed, where typically in each county the Superior and the District Court maps line up exactly, is, and they still really line up in Wake County, but there's a slight difference there, which you'll notice if you look at your Wake County piece, where the districts are very, very similar, but are slightly changed. And then beyond that, the only other major piece of the bill is that we are realigning the divisions and trying to go from 8 divisions, which we currently have in statute, down to 5. The Constitution requires us to have a minimum of 4. This will bring us back down to 5, allow for better rotation of Superior Court judges across the state. Mr. Chair, I'll try to conclude my comments at that point and just say that I think that this plan is one that I have worked to try to develop that will be fair across the state, that will allow opportunity for the voters to have more input and more say in their elections. And I think it's a good one for North Carolina and will move us forward. And it is the first step. This is, we're still 4 years away from the next census. I believe this is really a multi-step process. This will allow us to begin that process as we work through, obviously, the Superior Court changes, which will take 4 election cycles to happen. So this will begin that, and happy to take any questions if there are any, Mr. Chairman.
Is there a referral?
No, there's not a referral.
Are there any questions by any member of the committee for Representative Burr? Representative Martin, you're recognized.
Thank you very much, Mr. Chair. A few questions. I'm trying to get a handle on what the districts look like in my county, in Wake County. And what I think, if I squint hard enough, is labeled 10AE, and on I'm looking on the proposed district court districts map, and it's sort of an off-white color. Is all that one district that goes up into eastern Wake County and then loops around the blue part? Sorry, I'm having trouble describing it.
Representative Barr?
Representative Martin for Wake County for the district courts, as proposed in the map, you will have four districts, and it'll be the 10C, which is C is the same as the C on your Superior Court map. Then the 10AE is a combination of the A and the E district on your Superior Court map. And then you've got the 10BD that's listed there, and that is a combination of the B and the D district on your Superior Court map. And then 10F on there, so same as it is on the Superior Court map. So that is that's the same map that was developed, I think, back in 2011. We did not change the Wake County Superior Court districts that were agreed upon several years back, that I think were worked on by several members of the legislature and a number of the judges here in Wake County, and try to leave that intact and then incorporate those maps into this district.
Thank you very much, Mr. Chair. In looking at how the districts are drawn, it seems that there are some counties where you've allocated a number of judges to the whole county. And then it seems that there are other counties that you have drawn separate districts. What's the reason for that distinction?
Representative Martin, as I said a while ago, the intent here is this is a multi-step process. I believe this is the first step of several to try to realign and update our judicial districts. We've gone into a lot of the urban counties to attempt to allow for those to have the similar election districts that you have in other urban counties, and I think this will move us in that direction. It's the first phase of it, but there's certainly more, I think, that we'll need to do after we receive the 2020 census back.
Follow up, Mr. Chair. I didn't ask my question clear enough. There are some counties that have, say, three judges allocated to the whole county. It looks like they run in the whole county. There are other counties instead where those counties are divided up into districts and the judges appear to run individually from those districts. I'm trying to understand what the reason for that distinction is. Why are these counties treated differently?
Mr. Chair,
Representative Barr,
can I respond to that?
No. Do you want to respond to those bill sponsors?
I'm happy to, or Representative Stephen wants to.
We'll get her to clarify.
Okay. Representative Martin, as I said earlier, this is a multi-step process. I think that through an effort to try to create a more uniform system, we'll have to get there. And I believe these individual districts, as we work with members in those areas, we try to incorporate their ideas, their concerns, or work with stakeholders back in those communities, try to talk with them about what they felt was best. If you have some suggestion on other counties that maybe we need to look at creating election districts within, I'm more than happy to talk to you about that and see how we can incorporate those ideas into this bill.
Thank you. Representative Martin, thank you for that question. As chair of the Courts Commission for the last two or three years, this is an issue we've been talking about, how the districts are treated differently. Some of them will have those districts set up where the judge must be from this area but is elected at large. Others have it where you're only elected in that district. We're trying to come back to a unified court system, going back and looking at our fundamentals. And so as part of this, the Courts Commission is going to continue to study. We already had a bill, we've already had a recommendation, and we want to take some longer time to look at it. Some of these seem to be the more easy fixes, the more quick fixes, to start back to unifying the court system.
Thank you, President Steve. President Martin, did you have some other questions?
Yeah, one more for right now, Mr. Chair. Thank you, sir. And I thank you for the offer for input, and I would like to do that. I'd love to have the time as a member to be consulted on that and get back with my judges, with my clerk, with the folks, with my DA, and get their input, because I'm pretty sure they didn't have any input in this process, and slow this process down and get that input to you so we can actually get the input of the folks that have to do this. So my question is, would you give us the time to do that?
Well, you've got all the time you need as the bill moves through the process, and it's up to the speakers when the bill is going to move forward, if it makes it out of this committee, Representative Martin. But I'll also add, as I talked about the multi-step process here, Representative Martin, one other piece that we've asked, as we try to get more information, gather back more data, and that is to sort of dive down into the statistics, the information that we're receiving from the counties. And in part of the bill, you should see some requirements, some requests on to, we'll be sending on to AOC about their the needs as we look to potentially make additional changes to these maps moving forward, and that is in your bill today. So we're trying to do that. So if we can't accommodate your changes as we move forward now, hopefully as we come back and look to continue to make improvements to these districts, we can certainly do that in a future session.
Representative Fallenbusser, I believe you have an amendment you'd like to offer. If you could just hold that just for a minute, please. Representative Turner, did you have a question or comment?
Yes, thank you. I'm sorry to interrupt, but when you were going over the factors, that you considered, you said that geography, population, caseload, and there was a fourth factor I missed.
Yes, ma'am.
Can you remind me of that? Resources. Oh, thank you. Okay, thank you.
Are there any other questions or comments by the committee? Representative Jackson, recognized. Yes, sir.
Representative Jackson, as I said earlier, it's a multi-step process that we're going to go through on these changes that are needed to the judicial district. This is the first step. I think that, I have worked along with other members to try to make these changes and work through them. Quite frankly, if you've got ideas or suggestions on that, you're more than welcome to offer amendments. If you want to try to make it effective in the upcoming election cycle, you're welcome to offer those amendments. But at this point, I think that we have incorporated in the bill a significant amount of changes to try to update and align our districts to better work for the people of the state.
Is that a follow-up? So is that just a policy decision that some counties like Pitt and Buncombe got divided, but other counties like Johnston and Alamance didn't?
At this point, it's a policy decision. I mean, this is the point of where we are today and the opportunity to go into some of these areas and clean up districts and then work on trying to add a couple more to the mix this year. And then as we look at additional reforms in the coming years, we'll see where else the need is to possibly go in and make those changes based on, the factors that I mentioned earlier. And we can go from there, Representative Jackson.
Yes, sir, another question. Representative Burr, I was wondering about the reduction of division from 8 to 5. Was AOC consulted in that? Was that a decision process they were involved in?
They were not consulted. It's an area that I've looked at and speaking one-on-one with different folks in the judicial system back home and other areas across the state. I think there was a legitimate case to be made, and I completely Chair would agree with those folks that raised the issue with me that perhaps we needed to look at reducing the number of divisions and return to where there's a little bit better rotation of judges able to move across the state.
Yes, sir. Well, this might be for the chairman, actually. Does this have a serial referral to any committee?
No, sir.
So I guess that's a follow-up from Chairman Burr, if I could.
Yes, sir.
Currently, my experience is that, Chairman Burr, is that although the divisions, we have divisions now, but they're such that a Wake County judge who's serving 6 months in Durham, a six-month term in Durham, actually stays at home in Durham, in Wake County and just drives to Durham every morning. But the way you've got this, you've got Wake and Union in the same district, and you've got Durham and Dare County in the same division. And I'm just wondering what are going to be the additional costs to the state for those judges staying in hotel rooms and things like that, and if AOC was consulted about that expense.
Well, Representative Jackson, as I am sure you're aware, there's no requirement that those judges be rotated out. You know, if you're talking about from Durham to Dare County, there's no requirement that they be sent that far. This just gives additional flexibility to allow that to happen when there's a need within the division. I mean, you know, Constitution says we can have as few as four. We tried to leave it at five on here, so certainly, you know, we could have even gone a little bit further than we did with this proposal, but I think that it's a needed change that will allow for a little opportunity to bring judges into other areas and allow them to sort of rotate out more frequently than we've probably seen under those much smaller divisions.
The question for staff is, in particular looking at Superior Court District 22, I think I got this right, 22B, that appears very, very similar in shape to Senator Robinson's Senate district that was just struck down as a racial gerrymander. And so I'm wondering what rules apply in providing, drawing these districts that might be similar to the ones in the legislative district.
Oh, okay.
Representative Ruff. I'm sorry. Ms. Churchill.
Representative Jackson, I'm not sure that with judicial districting you have exactly the same rules of the road that you would for a legislative redistricting. The courts have generally said that with judicial districts or establishing geographic areas for judges to run in, there are things that need to be considered other than what you would consider for a legislative redistricting. So I do believe that Section 2 of the Voting Rights Act is still applied simply because they are electoral districts. However, someone would need to make the assertion that that is some sort of voting block and they need to be appropriate evidentiary position to say that that is a district that needs to have a particular makeup. I do think that just like with all other districting, again, if someone is challenging it, that it was established totally for racial purposes, again, you might have a claim there.
Yes, sir. You said you wanted
to. Representative Farmer Butterfield, you're recognized for your amendment, please, and the floor is yours to explain your amendment.
Okay.
I wanted to make comments first,
if you don't mind.
Yes, ma'am.
I'm concerned about this bill because judges need to be independent and fair, in my opinion. And shouldn't be part of politics involved. And I'm also concerned about whether or not this bill is going to have a negative influence on minority voters in North Carolina. And are we going to be tied up in court as we've been on the congressional and legislative districts? My particular district is Wilson and Pitt County, and Pitt County judges have been calling and talking to me my whole weekend, and this was my family reunion weekend, so it was just something important to them. And I want to read a letter that one of the judges sent, but it's the sentiments of all the judges in Pitt County.
If I may, can you explain your amendment, please?
Yes, I will. Okay. If you look at the bill on page 2, lines 8 through 15, it's rewriting those lines to read as follows. District 6, Pitt County, has two Superior Court judges. And on page 10, lines 41 through 48, by rewriting these lines to read District 6, Pitt County, has five District Court judges.
Yes, ma'am. Do I understand you have a letter you'd like to read in support of this?
Yes, uh-huh. That's right.
Recognized
to do that. So Pitt County would basically be saying the same as it is now, based on our amendment. Reference Farmer Butterfield, I am not certain what the rationale for the division, but as Chief District Court Judges for District 3, let me tell you about our district and the potential impact of this type of division. District 3 is a single county district which keeps five district court judges busy in court 5 days a week, and at other times reading reports and medical records, writing orders, and keeping abreast with the changes in the law, among many other things. The voters of Pitt County have done an excellent job of seating judges who are conscientious, hardworking, and who endeavor to apply the law fairly and even-handedly without regard to partisan politics. There are two district court judges who are registered Republicans, and three who are registered Democrats. Party affiliation has no place in the administration of justice, and no judge in Pitt County has ever needed to be reminded of that. The judges in our district are cognizant of the importance of there being three district judges and separate branches of government. Our branch is the one that interprets and applies the law. And I'm going to move down to the basic conclusion. A division of District 3 would result in voters only being able to vote for two or three of the five judges that preside over cases that involve some of the most serious issues that can affect those voters. Issues of child custody, termination of parental rights, domestic violence, abuse of children, substance abuse, mental illness, and more. Please think carefully before limiting the voters' input on the judges that serve them, and please remember why the framers of the Constitution called for separate but equal branches of government.
Thank you, ma'am. Reverend Burr, you're recognized to respond to the amendment.
Thank you, Mr. Chairman. Representative Farmer Butterfield, certainly understand somewhat the intent of your amendment, although I have to disagree with the letter in part from your judge. He's correct that he is there to interpret the laws and to make rulings, but it is the responsibility of the legislature to set policy. Now, one item you mentioned was about the partisan judicial races. That policy has already been set this year. We've made that decision, and we've returned our elections to our elections for Superior and District Court to partisan races. We are we're past that at this point and looking at how to improve our districts in the state. And I would have to disagree with your amendment and with the letter, and would ask members to oppose it. I think that the map that we have, the opportunity for the folks in Pitt to be able to run within those districts is a good policy. It's a policy that has been used in many other counties around the state, and I think it will benefit the community and Pitt County moving forward. And I would ask the members to oppose the amendment.
I think it's important that when we make major changes like this, that we get the input of local judges and people in the community and across the state, and be very transparent in what we're doing, and I ask that you support my amendment. Thank you.
Thank you, ma'am. Are there any other members of the committee that have any questions or comments? Representative McNeil, you're recognized.
Well, thank you, Mr. Chairman. Yeah, I have a question. I think I'm going to ask, but I'll go back to you.
On the amendment?
On the amendment, yes. Yes, on the amendment. and this is for each current staff, that we can share or whatever. Under the proposed bill, two of these district court judges would have to live in District 6A, and three would have to live in District 6B to run. Is that correct?
Representative Burr?
All right. Follow up?
Yes, sir.
Under her amendment, all five judges would just run at large in Pitt County because theoretically they all live in the same neighborhood. Is that correct?
That's correct.
Further discussion by the committee before we vote on the amendment. Representative Jackson, you recognize.
That brings out a good point. Do we have an analysis on like where attorney, since you have to be an attorney to be a judge, so each district would have to have at least one attorney to live in it to be qualified to have a judge in that district. Has someone done some kind of analysis on these districts in reference to that?
Representative Jackson, I don't know where that list would exist. I don't know that we'd want that getting out in public of where attorneys live at. But, you know, I think that it really goes back to what I was attempting to do with some of the changes in these counties with Mecklenburg and others to have those election districts so they're not having to run countywide, but make sure that the population is high enough that you've got individuals that are one qualified and two capable and one actually serve for judge. So, you know, that's one reason you have the two districts versus trying to go in necessarily in that community and draw five individual districts for district court, is to try to at least have a little bit of a wide net that will allow anybody to run that wants to, that you can go out and recruit, or whoever there wants to go out and do that.
In view of the power, and you say that y'all have to leave at five, and I got another amendment to run, with all due respect, I'm going to call for a vote on the amendment. I'd like everybody to raise their hand when I ask you how to vote. All those in favor of the amendment, please raise your hand. 1, 2, 3. I count 5. Okay. All those opposed to the amendment, please raise your hand. 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6. By a count of 7 to 5, the amendment fails. Representative Stevens, you are recognized to send forth the amendment.
Thank you, Mr. Chair. And one of the things that the bill had left out is when would these new elections take place? So the people who are in existing districts now will remain where they are, and this sets out the time and the date in which their positions, in essence, expire. So they would be elected into these new districts during this time. For example, 2018 has a certain number of judges of Superior Court judges who would be up for re-election, so that's when it comes in. Same thing as you go through for other districts, 2020, other districts, 2022, other districts, 2024. So needless to say, this is not an immediate thing. It goes forward. The same thing with district courts. There would be some that would begin after the 2018 election, some with 2020, some with 2022, I believe. And then the same thing for prosecutors. So I just ask your support on the amendment. It's just clarifying the dates in which these people will come into effect based on their district.
Are there any questions by any committee member concerning the amendment? Representative, how are you recognized?
Thank you, Mr. Chairman.
Yes, sir.
Question for Representative Stevens. So looking at page 1 where it has each district and it says two judges, one judge, which judges, who decides which ones will fall under which slot in the timeline?
Mr. Chair, if you go to District 1, there are two judges who currently serve in District 1. Those two judges' terms will expire with the elections going to take place in 2018. It's the natural expiration of existing judicial positions. There currently are two judges in District 1. There are five judges. Two of them will be up for re-election in 2018. That's when the new maps, in essence, take place. and it appears that District 1 has not changed that much.
Thank you, sir.
Yes, sir, Representative Martin, you're recognized.
Thank you, Mr. Chairman.
Yes, sir.
A question for the amendment sponsor. Has the Administrative Office of the Courts been consulted on this? And if so, what opinion do
they have? They have not been, thank you. They have not been specifically consulted on this exact amendment, but did express concern that the original bill didn't have an election date as to when, in essence, these districts would take place. It was partially at their suggestion that we did this amendment to ensure that the elections would be staggered so that no one loses their term. They complete their terms before there's a replacement put in place. And that's what this amendment does. It goes with the district when their race is up.
Are there any other questions or comments by any committee member concerning the amendment? Hearing no, Representative Burr, would you like to respond?
Members, this is an amendment that we've been working on. It's technical, really, something I believe that needed to be a part of the bill that just took a little bit longer to prepare than the PCS that was emailed out to you last night. And we're trying to make it clear when those seats are up so there's clarity for AOC, for the Board of Elections, and appreciate Representative Stevens running the amendment for us.
Move for adoption of the amendment.
There's a motion before the committee for the adoption of the amendment. Once again, if you would please raise your hand. All in favor of the motion to approve the amendment, please raise your hand. Count 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 7. All opposed, please raise your hand. 1, 2, 3. Representative Paul, do you want to vote? Representative Jackson? The vote was 7-3. The amendment passes. Now we're back on
30 minutes.
The PCS as amended. Is there any further discussion by the committee on the bill as amended? Representative?
I want to ask my good friend, Representative Burris, do any judicial groups or study commissions or task forces endorse this gerrymandering? Yes or no?
Let's try to keep the sarcasm as low as we can go, but you can respond to the question.
Representative Foreman Butterfield, I think this is a fairly serious situation. And as I pointed out earlier, we are correcting gerrymandered districts. You cannot look at this map and tell me this is fair for the people of Mecklenburg County. It is not. For 50% of the population of one county to be gerrymandered into one district that only gets the vote for 2 out of the 7 judges is not right. We're fixing mistakes, errors, bad judgment that was made in the past, and I think that this is a good deal, and it's going to do that, and it is going to give the people of Mecklenburg County, the people of Guilford and Forsyth and others, the ability to have more of a voice in the process of who they're electing to the bench in North Carolina.
Follow-up.
Yes, ma'am.
Is it true that some people will gain and some will lose in terms of these judgeships?
Yes, ma'am, that is true. There are several seats that will shift around. We are moving Superior Court seats because there is a need. We're moving a Superior Court seat to Mecklenburg County, moving a Superior Court seat to Guilford County, moving a district court seat to Wake County, where there's a need. And that is, again, it's part of what I consider to be a multi-step process that will have to take place over the next 4 or 5 years. And it is the start of that, as we said, and Representative Stevens' amendment pointed out, it's going to take time to transition over for the Superior Court judges. Obviously, they're only up every 8 years, so you've got to get through 4 election cycles when you're making these changes, but it's better to start this now, and then we'll come back and look at it again after the 2020 census and continue to make improvements on it.
Representative Martin, you're recognized.
Thank you, Mr. Chair.
Yes, sir.
Question for the bill sponsor.
Yes, sir.
He's highlighted Mecklenburg County as an example, indicating that there's a problem there. So my question for him is, which judges in Mecklenburg County, which attorneys in Mecklenburg County which clerks what other folks involved in the administration of justice in Mecklenburg County did he consult? What problems did they identify, and how did he incorporate their solutions into the plan we have before us today?
Representative Burr.
Well, as the rumor mill has gotten out there that we've been working on this bill, and certainly that's been the case across the state. I've received different phone calls from individuals. I've worked with members of the House and the Senate, members of involved in Mecklenburg County and the judicial branch and others that have certainly been made aware and expressed frustration for the current maps and the lack of fairness that they impose on their district, their county. So I think that we've talked to a number of folks from Mecklenburg. I've talked to the members there. I've worked with members from Wake. I've talked with members from Guilford. And, you know, if they want to reach out to you, if folks in the local judicial branch that have talked about this want to talk with you, they're certainly capable of doing that. I think you probably could understand, you know, some concern, obviously, trying to clean up these maps. It's not always going to make a sitting judge happy, so there's some hesitation for some of them to come here and endorse this plan publicly. But that's what we're elected for, is to make the hard decisions, to do what's right for our constituents and the people of the state, and try to clean up 50 years of a patchwork of changes to the judicial system.
Paul? Mr. Chair, I've got tons of questions, but I know we're trying to get out of here, so I don't want to monopolize.
Well, I spoke with Representative Jackson. He said we could have some leeway on that 5 o'clock deadline. Did you want to ask another question?
I saw other members with their hands raised. I'll defer to them.
All right. Mr. Chair. Representative Jackson.
I wanted to follow up with Chairman Burr about the Mecklenburg County he was just speaking about. And, you know, I disagree with Pitt County being divided, but at least it's kind of divided somewhat down the middle. Mecklenburg appears to be more of a donut type of drawing, as the Fourth Circuit has struck down in Wake County previously, and I just wonder why there wasn't some kind of division in Mecklenburg County, just like the top half of the county, or north and south, or east and west, instead of a donut type of.
Part of it was to look at the current map, and to determine how we could take what was there and incorporate updates to that map and get those population numbers in line and have that sort of the Charlotte area served through one district, and the areas, the municipalities, areas outside of Charlotte served by another. Obviously the population causes you to have to shift around quite a bit, but I think it's a good map that sort of allows the different areas of the county to be served and to be represented.
Representative Hall, you're recognized.
Just for comments on the bill, if I could.
Yes, sir.
Members, I've gotten over 250 calls today about this. I've got 400 emails, and I'm a member of the minority party. We don't get calls like that on my side. All opposed to it. As Representative Butterfield has said, Democrats and Republicans. And I take this extremely seriously. She may have misspoke when she said gerrymandering, but that's exactly what this is. This is racial gerrymandering. And
Mr. Speaker, point of order.
Let's go ahead and wrap this up.
Let me get the numbers instead of just the words.
Motive.
Let me get the numbers of what this will result in instead of using words. These districts will result in district courts, 14 districts that will likely elect a Democrat and 41 that will likely elect a Republican. If you switch to Superior Court, we have 12 districts that will likely elect a Democrat and 45 that will likely elect Republican. This is done by having Durham judges that will drive to Dare instead of Wake County, Alamance judges that will drive to Ashe, Cabarrus, Davis, and not Wake. This is a major, major piece of legislation. And I know it's been worked on for months and months. And the author said, let this take its time, go through the process, and make amendments to see what happens. But leadership has indicated this is our last week. We have 4 days to work on this. I urge you not to vote for something this major, this quickly. Give everyone a chance to look at it and have their input on this.
Representative Stevens, you're recognized.
Thank you, sir.
Peter, is it a comment?
I have a comment and a motion. We could spend 5 years batting this information around, and people are not going to be happy because it changes what they're used to as the status quo. And the problem is, Representative Burr is exactly right. The Courts Commission established these jurisdictions in 1960, and since then it's the political play that's changed them sporadically here, there, and everywhere. We need to get back to looking at a unified court system where people are elected on a consistent basis. As I said, you've got one judicial district that has a portion that reaches into four counties. You have judicial districts where you're elected in districts. You have judicial districts where you have to live in a district, but you're elected at large. We've had districts that have been too small. We have districts that are landmass overwhelmed. So this is a start to do something, but you're right. Somebody's going to be upset at everything or anything we do. And with that being said, and the promises we made to the, our speaker made to the minority caucus, I move for a favorable report to the PCS for House Bill 717 as amended, unfavorable to the original bill.
Since we rolled over into a new PCS.
Rolled into a new PCS.
That is the motion, but before we proceed on that, I'd like to ask, are there any members of the committee that have any more questions or comments to the bill sponsor concerning the bill? Representative Arp, you're recognized.
I think it's important, and I'd like to hear from the bill sponsors, the race predominant factor has been alleged in drawing these districts.
Representative Arp?
Representative Arp, it was not considered at all.
Representative Arp.
Thank you, Mr. Chair. So question driving from that, did you have racial data before you when you drew these districts?
Representative Burr.
No. Only when it was provided back in the stat packs, which was never reviewed, but as you know from being a previous chair of redistricting, when you're provided this information back from staff, from the computer software, it's incorporated in there after you have produced the map. But it was never reviewed, never looked at. We base things on population and never took that into account.
Oh, yes, sir.
So there's clearly some reason these lines are as squiggly as they are. You claim that it was not based on racial data. What then was the main factor you looked at? Was it partisan advantage or some other factor?
Representative Burr?
Representative Martin, as I said earlier, there were a number of factors that went into it, including population, including geography, relationships. When you're looking at Mecklenburg County, for example, I would imagine that those folks that live in the northern part of the county that sort of hug around the edges of the county that aren't necessarily in Charlotte might elect different judges than those that reside in the city of Charlotte. So its ability to give them a voice in that process, which again was already similar, other than the fact the populations were considerably thrown off and these lines stretch all around. Our districts are whole, and you don't see that there in Mecklenburg County. So we're attempting to give those different areas the opportunity to have a voice.
Thank you very much, Mr. Chair. So was it a motivation to gain a partisan advantage, or is the partisan advantage that these maps give Republicans a pure accident?
Representative Barr?
Representative Martin, certainly you can look at the maps and see that when you go from the maps that were drawn by Democrats, which were done to give them a partisan advantage over Republicans, and you go from way over here and you move it back to the center, perhaps it makes you feel like it's giving Republicans a partisan advantage when it's really just putting us on a level playing field and giving us both the opportunity to compete for these seats rather than just have the gerrymandered districts that were drawn by the previous party and redrawn every time a Republican judge would win an election in their community.
Follow up, yes, sir. Thank you, Mr. Chair. Or a statement, I'll take that as a yes, that partisan factors were certainly considered here.
Any other question? I'm glad you
called.
No, sir. Representative Farnsworth, you recognize.
I wanted to make a comment.
Yes, ma'am.
I think it's important that we as a committee recognize that gerrymandering can be racially based or partisan based. And I think that the group here all knows that, and I just wanted to restate that for the record.
Yes, ma'am. Representative Meyer, you recognize?
Thank you, Mr. Chairman. I have a question for Representative Burr as well.
Yes, sir.
Representative Burr, you stated that you did not use racial data in the creation of these maps. Given that so, what assurances can you give us that upon judicial review, these maps will be found to meet the requirements of the Voting Rights Act?
I believe these districts will comply with the law, and unless we have a judge trying to legislate from the bench, they should be upheld.
Follow-up, Mr. Chairman.
Yes, sir, Representative. Follow-up.
Representative Burr, what I was looking for was not your belief, but we have a requirement to make sure that our redistricting efforts meet the standards of the Federal Voting Rights Act. How can we be sure that these maps will meet those standards?
Representative Meyer, I believe they meet those standards, and unless you have an objection or you can point out a problem, I think the maps are good and we should move forward with them. So I am pleased with where we're at today. I think we're in a good place, and that all of the efforts to clean up our judicial districts are being done within the parameters of the law.
Representative Hall, do you recognize?
Yeah, I'd like to help Representative Meyer point out a more specific, exact example and problem. District 22B, it almost exactly mirrors Senate District 28 that the courts have just declared unconstitutional. Other than just your opinion, is there any ruling, data, belief from the judiciary that those will be upheld as constitutional in this case?
Representative Burr, you recognize if you can answer that.
I believe they will be.
Representative Jackson,
I have one question, Mr. Chairman.
Yes, sir.
I'm sort of asking the same question, Chairman Burr, I'll just ask, if you could correct me. With AOC, the Conference of DAs, the Bar Association, the Conference of Judges, the Conference of Public Defenders, anyone like that, any group like that consulted about these maps?
Representative Burr?
No, sir, but they're more than welcome to speak up now or to contact any of us and express their opinion. After all, we are elected to make these policy decisions, and that's what I'm presenting before you today. And as I said before, this is something I've advocated for, Representative Jackson, since I've been here, and have tried to make changes across the board. Sometimes had to do them locally, but this is that step. And fortunately, so long as my constituents send me back up here, I'm here to represent them, and that's what I'm trying to do.
Mr. Chairman, thank you. And Chairman Burr, I know you've been working on this a long time, and I was blown away by the breadth of it. So please don't take this. Coming up the last week before session, all the secrecy, not consulting with stakeholders, you know, that's the obvious question, is if you want to do this and you believe you're doing it in a fair way, and a way that's dictated by geography and by workload formulas and everything, why not have people involved in helping you, or public input like we do on congressional maps or like we do on legislative maps? Why haven't we done that?
Representative Jackson, I think a big part of that is, as I said earlier, is I certainly welcome input and welcome folks' suggestions on ways to change or to improve the improvements we're making here in this bill. And this is the first step of what I consider to be a multi-step process to making these changes. So you've seen sort of the framework for where we're headed with the policy. If individuals have ideas, suggestions, want to work on that, they're more than welcome to talk to me, and I'm more than happy, regardless of who you may be. I spent most of my weekend on the phone talking to judges and DAs and other individuals, and did not just start that over the weekend, but had been doing it for several months and trying to have that conversation. But obviously, when you're making changes and you're tweaking judicial districts and trying to update them, you're some folks consider it to sort of be playing in somebody else's sandbox, and they don't normally take too kindly to that no matter what, and you can't get the best response out of folks when you're trying to talk up front in advance on how to work to improve those, and it's very difficult. Try to do that back home in my community in the past and fell on deaf ears. So, you know, as I said, welcome any input and anyone to stop by and have conversations about how to continue to make improvements to the districts.
Representative Meyer.
Thank you, Mr. Chairman. Representative Byrd just said several times that he'd like to hear from anyone who wants to comment on this, and we're willing to hear from them now. Mr. Chairman, you've always done the courtesy of asking for public input in this committee, and I just wondered if you were going to open up the floor for any public comments today. Thank you, sir.
We never get to that point. Yes, sir. I fully understand. Representative Jackson, thank you for the question.
Thank you, sir.
I just wanted to speak on the bill now, just real quickly. One of the problems I know is, especially in some of these multi-superior court judges districts like Robinson and Scotland, a great majority of the population is Robinson. Scotland's never going to have the opportunity to elect a judge. Union, Anson, and Richmond, great majority of the population's in Union. Anson and Richmond, I'm afraid, will never get to elect a judge. Moore and Hope, same way. Randolph and Chatham, the same way. I hope as you consider changes to the map, you'll consider, since you have multiple judges, dividing in somehow so that the people in those counties have a say-so in who their judges are.
I might remind the committee, too, that if it does pass committee, we'll have to go to the House floor. It will be debated. Then if that passes, it has to go to the Senate, where we'll go through the process over there as well. Representative Farmer Butterfield, you're recognized.
I was just going to comment that we have two judges in the room who are members of the legislative body.
Yes, ma'am.
And it would be interesting to see what their input would be on the bill.
Yes, ma'am. If the committee will quit asking all these questions, allow me the opportunity. I'm more than happy to recognize
you. I promise you, I'm going to ask one last question, and I'm going to leave it alone.
It's fine. You ask all you want.
And my question is, I understand that the Chief Justice Commission did an exhaustive study for like 16 or 18 months, and this was never addressed, and I'm wondering why. Does anybody know why? If it's so important that they didn't address this.
Representative Byrd, are you able to answer that?
Representative Stevens,
you recognize?
Tell me, I always got
something
to say.
Oh,
yes,
ma'am.
I was on the Chief Justice Commission, and it was not one of the predominant topics that he had. We were looking at some efficiencies, and they had broken down the topics, and this was never one that was discussed.
Last comment.
Yes, ma'am, you recognize.
Again, I want to reiterate that gerrymandering can be based on race and or partisan politics. That's the end of my story.
Yes, ma'am. Thank you. Representative Martin, you recognize.
Thank you, Mr. Chair. Question for the bill sponsor. I married a woman from Forsyth County, but I don't know squat about the judicial district. Could you tell me how those, the origin of the lines in Forsyth County?
Representative Burrow.
Representative Martin, I'm sure it's hard to see on that little map. We can get you a larger breakout of magnifying glasses. Those districts are a revamp of existing districts, trying to get the populations more in line with one another.
Hearing no other questions or comments from the committee, I would now like to have some public input. There are six people who have signed up. I'd like to recognize each one. If you will state your name for the record, that we have to hear what you say, and we'd ask that you try to limit your comments to 3 minutes. First speaker would be Superior Court Judge Waylon Sermon. Welcome, sir.
I'm a senior resident from District 2, Beaufort, Martin, Washington, Hyde, and Terrell, and I held court this morning, left at 1 o'clock from Martin County, got put on vacation status, and I'm here to be with you today. We reviewed these matters after 4 o'clock last night. What time was your tweet? And so we've had very little time. I am on the board of directors of the Conference of Superior Court Judges. Our president is Judge Joe Crosswaite, who is here beside me. I just want to give you a few impressions. Obviously, the timing of this and the urgency is disturbing to us because we don't know exactly what it does entail, but having looked at it and done it, I can tell you the impression for the first division, which is my seat on the board. We are taking a 20% cut in our judges' staff under the new plan for the existing district, Division One, losing two judges. And the amendment passed is especially harmful to that because all those seats expire in 2018. Filing would, I'm not sure where the moving up the primary bill is, but I anticipate filing in 2017 in December if it's going to be in March. So whatever you do here is pretty much going to have to happen to us. And I'm talking about Halifax County losing a judge. Halifax County is still reeling from the loss of their DA. There are 1,509 pending Superior Court cases. There are at least 10 murder victims. All of these cases are not being handled because of the lack of cohesion in the district attorney staff still. And losing that Superior Court judge is going to add to the other districts, Hertford County, Northampton, and Bertie, 1,509, 1,278, almost 3,000 pending cases to be handled by one judge. It is going to be a nightmare for Halifax County. Wilson, Edgecombe, and Nash has three judges. For the next 22 weeks, 11 of those weeks has Superior Court in all three of those counties. So imagine if you only have two judges, what that's going to do to everybody else. We are just reacting to this, and Senator Berber makes a good point that this should be a starting point. If there are corrections that need to be made, then let's make them for the betterment of our population and our voters and our people that we have come before us. It has to be fair and equal. But population for our rural districts does not need to be the driving force. The driving force is our caseload and our resources available. It doesn't matter how many people we have in a Halifax, a Wilson, a Nash County. When you're in a corridor of crime on I-95, it doesn't matter. A lot of people, you know, it just doesn't equate with our needs. So we would ask that this bill be tabled, that this bill be tabled by the committee. It's not ready. It needs cooking. And we thank you for hearing us today.
Thank you, sir. The next speaker I have is Superior Court Judge Anna Mills Wagoner. Welcome, ma'am.
Good afternoon. My name is Anna Mills Wagoner. Excuse me. I'm a senior resident Superior Court Judge, Rowan County. My district, as the bill is currently constituted, is not involved in getting things changed. However, I too was in the Chief Justice's Commission, the Administration of Law and Justice. It was on the Criminal Committee. The Chief Justice spoke Saturday at the Bar Association Convention, and I believe he's going to be calling on this panel, this group, to redo the way that we select judges in North Carolina. I agree with Representative Burr that indeed the way that our Superior Court districts are constituted does need to be reviewed and does need to be looked at. However, I would implore this group to please get input from all the interested stakeholders, the public, the district attorneys, the defense lawyers, the clerks, law enforcement, everyone who's involved in the court system. And see, and obviously defense bar and plaintiff's attorney, it's not an easy fix. It's a complicated matter. And I think that after deliberation, collaboration, information, that this group would be in a better position to make an informed and lasting change that would benefit our state. Thank you.
The next speaker is Moore District Attorney Maureen Kruger. All right, would you please state your name?
Christy Newton. I'm the district attorney in Hope in Scotland County. And if this goes forward, I would essentially be eliminated. Seated with me are some other district attorneys, Jim Waddell, Reese Saunders. Across the room is Ernie Lee. What I just want you to hear is a little bit about what district attorneys do, because we're a little different than everyone else. We provide personal service to citizens. When I am in the grocery store, when I am at a restaurant, at a car wash, people walk up to me. They know me. I'm local. I'm available. They come up to me in church. They come up to me anywhere in the community. If their son got a speeding ticket or if their son's in jail. We do something that is very personal to people. And I tell my staff, it doesn't matter if someone's bicycle was stolen or if their child was molested. That case is important to them. They need to know that it's important to us. Hoke would go to Moore, and Scotland would go to Robinson. And if you separate Hoke and Scotland, they are very small, and Robinson would dominate Scotland. And by the way, Scotland was with Robinson before, and it didn't work very well. Robinson, if you know anything about the court system, and I'm not in any way criticizing Robinson because I love my dear friend Johnson Britt, but they have a lot of crime there. And so I'm afraid my citizens in Scotland County would be forgotten. If Hoke goes into Moore, Hoke's a Democratic district, and Moore is Republican. So I'm afraid my little citizens in Hoke County would be forgotten. That is my hometown. You know, for all the years I've been a district attorney, and believe it or not, this is year 22 for me, I have heard the argument of urban versus rural. And sometimes rural districts are not valued. But I will tell you that we have value, because we have personal relationships with our victims, and they can approach us. And small is not insignificant. So on behalf of the district attorneys who are being affected by this, I would say to you, if you want to make change and you want to get rid of some of us, first of all, fully fund our replacements. Because I looked at the bill, and if you eliminate Hoke and Scotland, you are not giving Moore and Robinson enough to cover what's in Hoke and Scotland. So if you're going to get rid of some of us who have D's behind our name, then at least fund the offices that are replacing us so that the citizens we represent get fair service. Secondly, I would ask you, if you want to make a change, take a step back and talk to the stakeholders, because we have personal relationships. It's not just DAs, it's not just judges. There is a court family in every district. It's the defense bar. In my district, we have a public defender's office. But it's the private bar, it's the defense bar, it's the clerks, it's the law enforcement, it's the citizen groups. Quite honestly, in a rural community, it's the preachers. I mean, there are stakeholders. They represent folks in their community. In my community, a lot of times it is a minister who comes on behalf of a citizen. Sometimes a citizen who's sitting in jail, and even though I'm on the other side, they want to come and talk to me about it, and I open my door and I listen to them. Building relationships with law enforcement is important. We can't do our jobs as prosecutors if we don't have the support of law enforcement. So I'd ask you to take a step back. If this is something you want to do long term, fine, but at least give those who are involved in the system, those who have knowledge, who are in the trenches, who understand how each district operates, give those folks a chance to say something, to have some input. Let their voices be heard. Ask AOC. Look at our numbers. But beyond just looking at our numbers, you do have to look at our resources. You have to look at what we do on a daily basis, not just statistics, because real people are involved here. Not just those of us in the court system, but the people we represent. So I would ask you to vote against this, respectfully, Representative Burr. I hope that you will at least take a deeper look at it. Thank you very much.
Thank you, ma'am. Next speaker is Susan McClanahan from the Citizen League of Voters. If you please state your name for the record, and we'll be glad to hear what you have to say.
My name is Susan Bain McClanahan. I'm a member of the League of Women Voters of North Carolina, and the League of Women Voters has been working on nonpartisan redistricting since 1966. This legislature has a history of drawing illegal voting districts with surgical precision, thanks to advanced technology that we have today that we didn't have even 10 years ago. Now, I will admit, Democrats have done this, Republicans are doing it now. I am one of those who says it's not right for anyone to do this. I'm here to speak up for the 80% of North Carolina voters who oppose gerrymandered districts of all kinds in North Carolina. With this bill, voters will have less say. Of that 80% of people who oppose legislators drawing district lines, 56% are Republicans in North Carolina, 58% are Democrats, 68% are unaffiliated voters, a group of voters that has grown tremendously in North Carolina. The U.S. Supreme Court unanimously ruled against the congressional districts that were racially drawn. They have ruled against the legislative districts that were illegally drawn. Now the sponsors of HB 717 want to choose the local judges who will hear these cases. How much will it cost us to fight this illegal act? Please vote against HB 717. Thank you.
Thank you, ma'am. I'd ask the sergeant at arms, there's a lady by the name of Alyssa Croman outside. She's inside. If you'll hold that just a minute. Jennifer Bremer, also from the League of Women Voters, has signed up. Did you want to speak and have anything different to say, ma'am?
Yes, thank you. I'm Jennifer Bremer. I'm also with the League of Women Voters. I'm very concerned that the combination of making the judicial elections partisan and then the drawing of districts for what certainly appears to me to be partisan gain just really further undermines the critically important impartiality balance in our judiciary, and also undermines the separation of powers, which is so critical to our democracy and so important to it. And I strongly support what my colleague has said with regard to the need to as much as possible, keep politics out of the courts and to respect the strong will of the North Carolina voters to see a more impartial way of drawing districts, and therefore I also urge you not to adopt this bill. Thank you.
Thank you, ma'am. Mrs. Croman, if you would recognize yourself, and we'd be glad to hear what you have to say, ma'am.
Hi, my name is Melissa Price Crom. I'm with the North Carolina Voters for Clean Elections. I do fair courts advocacy and good government work. What I want to say is, maybe the U.S. Supreme Court wasn't clear when the nation's highest court told you to redraw our state's gerrymandered maps, but I would like to make that clear now. You told the public you were too busy with the budget to redraw unconstitutional legislative districts. Instead, you are embarking on the biggest challenge of our judiciary in over 50 years, done in secret, behind closed doors, and without public input. This is just court tampering. We've seen this over and over again. This cycle, we've just seen a caravan of bills going after the courts. I mean, and we're hearing from all aspects of the court right now. They're saying, no, stop. You're crippling the courts, punishing the people of North Carolina just to grease the wheels of partisan politics. This needs to be a commission. This needs to be studied. This needs to have full and public input.
Thank you, ma'am. Those were all the people who had signed up to speak. I'll yield and ask, is there anyone else in the audience who would like to speak either for or against the proposed legislation? Hearing none. Yes, ma'am, your record. If you'll state your name for the record,
thank
please.
You. Marsha Morey, representative from Durham. 18 years as a judge, just left the bench 2 months ago. Take your time. This is the judicial system. There are courts. There are people waiting for justice. This is going to delay the process. We have no input, as we have heard, from any stakeholder. It affects hundreds of judges who have spent their lives dedicated only to the people they serve, totally redraws the districts. Half of the people who will be presided over by a judge won't even have the opportunity to vote for who their judicial leader will be with these new maps. I urge you, step back. There is no need to rush the last week of this session for such a monumental change. Study it. Let's do it right. Thank you, Mr. Chair.
Yes, ma'am. Thank you. There was a lady in the back who raised her hand. Would you like to speak?
Jim Crouch, North Carolina Advocates for Justice.
Hi, Kim Crouch, North Carolina Advocates for Justice. I would just reiterate what many have said here, that we would respectfully request the opportunity to be engaged and involved in the discussion as a stakeholder in this very important decision-making process. Thank you.
Thank you. For the members of the committee, we do have a motion before us that was made by Representative Stevens. Is there any further discussion before we vote? Representative Jackson.
Mr. Chairman, I was wondering if we could hear from AOC.
No one from AOC signed up, nor have I been informed that anyone from AOC is here. I will ask, pursuant to that request, is there anyone from the Administrative Office of the Courts here that could speak on the bill? Hearing none, Representative Jackson, there is no one here. Is there any other further discussion or comments by any member of the committee before we vote? Hearing none, I would ask you to please raise your hands when I ask for how you're going to do this. All those in favor of the motion made by Representative Stevens, please raise your hand. I count 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6, 7. All those who are opposed to the motion proposed by Representative Stevens, please raise your hand. Count 1, 2, 3, 4, 5. By a vote of 7-5, the motion passes and we receive a favorable report. My understanding, there is no civil referral, so it should move to the House floor. Thank you, Representative Burke. No further business to come before the committee. Thank you all for your patience and being here today. We are adjourned.